I want to welcome all the folks that are watching online this morning. We are so excited to have you watching from various parts of the world. I know we've got friends that are watching us in Africa right now, and the U.S., and I'm not sure what other countries, but wherever you are, we are thankful that God is with you. He's just as much with you right now as he is with us. And if you're listening on a podcast today, we pray that you're driving safely or that you're working out safely or whatever you're doing today. We're glad that you're joining us on the podcast. We're kicking off a new sermon series today called Talking to God. Talking to God, which is really, the subtitle is longer than the title. Experiencing the awe and intimacy of prayer. Over the next 4 Sundays, counting today, we're going to do this for 4 Sundays. I want to be your talking to God coach and help you talk to God more often, in a deeper way, have a longer attention span when you talk to God. But let me just start by asking you a question. Why do you, and you don't, please don't answer this out loud, just think about this question, because the answers were going to be all over the map, but why do you listen to me? Why do you listen to me? I know that some are not listening right now, and y'all want to just talk about them for a little bit, or they won't even know? That's fine. That happens. People don't listen. I don't listen sometimes. So I know that that not every single person is listening on a given Sunday, but a lot are. So there's some here that are just curious. What is this guy going to say? What's going to happen? Maybe you're new here and you're just kind of like, what's going to happen here? What's he going to say? That's a very short attention span, because if I don't say something very interesting, you are off to thinking about other things. There's other people that are here because you're listening for information, or you want to hear a word from God. You're very much hungry because of the life situation that you're in right now. Maybe you're going through a struggle or difficulty, and you're hanging on every word that the pastor is saying today, because maybe he's going to say something that would really minister to me or talk to me or help me. And then there's others of you that are here today that are listening, and you're listening just because basically you like me. And you've been here for a while, you're home folks, and you don't have that prerequisite of this better be good, you know, or I'm out of here, you know. You don't really have that. You're here, you're a member, you're locked in, your family, this is your place. You like Pastor Robin, and what's he going to say today? You know, you're interested in what I'm going to say today. You're in. You've been through a few bomb sermons, and you just keep on coming. You know, you're not one and done. All right, you're here. And if I were to say we're all going to the river on Sunday, and we're going to have church down at the river, those people would be there, right? We're going to do that again in August. I'm giving you plenty of months to prepare. We're going to be doing that again in August. So my job as a preacher is to consider all those different audiences and different subsets of people and try to capture everybody's attention, no matter what category you're in. I probably covered a category that you're in, and so doing weird things, clapping, walking around, woo! Everybody listen up here, buck, 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 you know, doing something crazy. Let's all come together, let's all get focused right here. Then, you know, for the ones that are curious, you know, something intriguing, a stat, a statistic, some sort of something interesting, something funny, to try to capture those that are curious. And then pray and study and read the Bible and fast and really work hard to connect with God myself, so that when I do get up here on Sunday, that it is something that is inspired by God, so that so that anybody that is interested in finding the bread of life can eat and be fed as the message comes forth. And so talking to people, it's not easy, is it? It's difficult. Talking to people is not easy. And especially talking to strangers, it's not easy. Some of you may be better than that at that than others. But it's difficult when you don't know the person. And so I've come to several conclusions about talking. And this is about talking to God. But what I want to share with you today as we start this off is that we think about prayer. And I really didn't even want prayer in the subtitle because prayer has a stigma to it. And obviously, God has a stigma, has some sort of nervousness about that as well. So to take away some of the mystique about it and just talk about talking in general, just talk about what it's like to talk, first of all, to people, but then talk to God. So I've come up with several conclusions. The first one is this: our attention span is longer the more we like somebody. Right? Would y'all agree with that? Our attention span, that's what I was talking about just a few minutes ago. Those of you that like Promised Land or happen to like me or just, you're just, this is your home, your attention span here this morning is longer than the one that just walked in. It's like, what in the world? You know, and I see people with arms crossed and they're dozing off right now. I'm not going to call you out, but I see you. There could be somebody talking to you that has all the knowledge in the world, but they know that they have all the knowledge in the world, you know, or they think they have all the knowledge in the world. And when you perceive that this person is trying to be egotistical or prideful or verbose, you know, they're throwing words around like verbose, you know, they're pontificating. It doesn't matter how valuable the information could be that they're talking about. If you really don't like them, your attention span is so short. It doesn't matter how important what they're saying is. And they could have life-saving information, but if there's something about them that just rubs you the wrong way, you don't want to listen to them. You just are turned off. It's just like, shut it, you know, just stop talking. But the opposite is true as well. And that is, there could be someone in your life that has no valuable information whatsoever, but you are so interested in everything that they say. When your kids are babies, and they aren't able to form actual words. Our kids are too young to be cognitively understood by the words that they are dictating out loud. But we as parents will listen intently to what our kids are saying. Even if they're just babbling or just running their mouth or just whatever. If your kid has come up to you and they are wanting your attention, you are intently listening and eager to communicate with your kids. And those of you that don't have kids have dogs. And I know that those of you talk intently to your dogs. Am I right? Or yeah. Lacey. So You're like, yeah, communication. And mom and dad's never changed. My kids now, my 8-year-old, my 10-year-old, are boys, and you know they're beginning to articulate words properly. And as a parent, it's kind of sad in a way because they're not sweet and cute and little anymore. They're very much just, you know, getting older and more mature and more able to say words properly. And So, man, but every time they talk, I'm like, hey, yeah, well, let's, you know, and I want to engage with them. I want to hear what they're having to say. I have a daughter who's 13, and she has a severe disability in her brain, and she's unable to form words audibly with her mouth. And so I'll sit by her, and I will listen to her babbling at 13 years of age, and her facial expressions, and her laughing, and her giggling, and her mad expression, or her upset expression, and I'm intently listening and watching and seeing, what is she saying? What is she trying to say? And so I'll say, I'll tell Eric, I think she's saying she loves me more than she loves you. Yeah, yeah, you love daddy. You love daddy more than you love mama. That's just, so we're just talking. And my parents love to hear from their 38-year-old son. That's me. And my mom loves to hear me call her and talk to her about nothing. Just talk, you know, just call me and talk to me. I don't care what we talk about. I don't care if there's really any news going on. I just want to talk to you. I just want to listen to you. There's a desire to talk to our people that we love in our life, not because what we can offer them or what is interesting to share. In an intimate relationship, the desire to talk. Some of y'all need to write this down right here. In an intimate relationship, talking about with people, talking about with Jesus, in an intimate relationship, the desire to talk is based solely on the value of the relationship. I want to talk to you because you are you. Not because of what you have to say necessarily or the value of the information, but I want to talk to you because you are you. That's an intimate relationship. And I'm not talking about surface relationships or bad relationships. I'm talking about those that are close and good. So here's an observation that I have had that I've gathered over the years. Most of us have a problem talking to God because we don't realize or don't understand how much God really likes us. Think about that for a second. We have a difficulty talking to God because we really don't grasp and understand how much God really likes us. And we have a understanding of love, like God's love, God loves everybody. And even that, I think we don't really grasp a whole lot most of the time. But like can almost be a stronger word than love sometimes, you know, because if you're mad at a spouse or mad at a child or somebody, I love you, but I just don't like you right now, you know, And sometimes this is the deal. We don't understand how much God is excited about our life. We don't understand how much God is eager to connect with each and every one of us. Our problem is that we as humans judge how much God likes us by how much other people like us. It's put through that filter. And so our relationship with God is hindered or is handcuffed by our own mentality. It is handcuffed by our own limitation that we put on God. I've got a little video I want to show you here, and this video is going to last about a minute long. It's a child and her father, and it's easy to be drawn into what the child is trying to say, but I want you to focus on the dad actually more than the baby. Let's check this little video out.
Do you remember who was all there? Luke and wow. Chloe?
You might need to breathe, child.
you didn't even play with your own toy. I played with everybody else's toys.
Goodness.
All of Luke's toys.
Hot potato, hot potato, hot potato, hot potato.
So she's good for a while. Does that mean you want hot potato?
Hot potato,
hot potato, hot potato, potato, potato.
Oh man, okay. That's good. That baby's cute, but after a while we're like, okay, that's enough. But did you see the expression of Dad? Oh man, such a great, great lesson in that video. Such a true picture of what our Heavenly Father is how He's viewing us as His children. And we're there like, you know. That's really probably the depth of our prayer language or our prayer abilities. When it comes to the vast knowledge of God and His depth of understanding of the world and His understanding of the atmosphere of the car and the car seat and everything that's going on there in that car. But He's so excited to hear from His baby. And He's egging it on and He's encouraging it. He's, oh, that's what you mean. Oh, yeah, okay. Hot potato, hot potato. By the way, which is an awful song, The Wiggles. Parents can vouch the Wiggles are awful. I mean, they're nice guys, but I'm so glad my kids are beyond that. But He's so engaged with His child. He's so eager to connect and listen. He's waiting for every sign and every signal, and it is with this context or with this position that Jesus teaches us how to pray. Let's go to scripture. Let's go to Matthew, the 6th chapter and the 5th verse. This is a very famous text that Jesus teaches us how to talk to God. Matthew 6 and 5. When you pray or when you talk to God, you must not be like the hypocrites. For they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners that they may be seen. So let's just stop there for a second. He's saying that there's some people that might try to pray to God. They may try to talk to God, but really their intent, their audience is not God, but it's the people around them. That they may be seen for others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. In other words, if that's all they want, then yeah, they'll get people to look and say, wow, look, that person can pray really well. And that will be the only reward that they get. But they won't hear from God, which is a much deeper and obviously better reward. Verse 6, but when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the heathen do. Now, let's just stop for a second. And you might think, take the word heathen and think that that means, you know, some bank robber or a murderer or adulterer. And sure, all those people could fit in that. But he's actually talking about religious people. He's actually talking to people that think of themselves more highly than they ought in a church setting. He's actually talking to church people here. So this is good stuff. So when you pray, verse 7, do not heap up empty phrases as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. So basically what He's telling them there, verse 5 through 8, Don't be preoccupied with your oratory skills. Don't try to figure out the best word to use when you speak to God, when you're talking to God. Don't be trying to figure out the articulation and dramatic pause and praying in the King James language, you know? Don't be worried about that. And also, this is another big deal, don't worry about what other people think about your prayers. You're not talking to them, right? There's a lot of times I'm talking with leaders or other people in the church that are growing in God, and I say, okay, why don't you pray? Would you lead us in prayer? Oh, no, I couldn't lead us in prayer. Why not? They've never done that before. They've never prayed in front of other people, and they're nervous about how it might sound. They may not be able to articulate like someone else. And it's difficult. It is difficult to pray in front of other people. But Jesus lets us all off the hook right here. He says, you can pray in front of anybody. You don't need to worry about what other people say. If your intent is to impress other people, you've got the wrong intent. If you want to get out in front of people and be eloquent and try to impress other people, you're not praying. You're not talking to God. You're trying to impress other people. And he just releases us from that. And so he says, just go privately, go away from other people. It's easier, you're more focused, you're more attentive to God, and you can connect with him better. Go into a private spot. Just, you don't have to do that. You don't need to go in front of those people. Instead, when you're connecting with God, when you're talking to him, get in a private spot. He says in verse 9, pray like this. Our Father. Somebody say Father. Our Father in heaven. That's so important. Our Father in heaven. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. The very first step and talking to God is not focusing on what to say, but focusing on who you're talking to. Who am I talking to? What is my relationship with this person that I'm talking to? If I don't have any relationship with this person at all, I want to get a good relationship with this person. That way our conversation will change over time. Change over time. So when we're talking about talking to God, it's the same thing. I want to get to know God as my Father. If I'm going to him as my boss, or if I'm going to him as someone who has been an authority but yet failed at that miserably, or if I'm going to him as an equal or someone lesser than me, wherever position that you're in your life, other than going to him in this context of relationship. Remember, our attention span, great example right now. Our attention span is deeper the more we know someone. And we don't understand how much God truly loves us. God is our Father. He is the one who has loved us and given himself for us before we were ever born, before we ever even knew him. In fact, scripture says, while we were sinning, Christ loved us and gave himself for us. Author and pastor Timothy Keller wrote a book called Prayer. And in it, he says, prayer is a personal, communicative response to the knowledge of God. So whatever knowledge of God you have, your response and your communication is totally dependent upon your knowledge of who he is. Job is somebody who's a great example of someone who changed over time and grew over time, which is what we all in here, everybody in here wants to do. We want to grow in relationship with God over time so that when we talk to God, our talking to God is more intimate and more filled with awe. And so wherever you are right here, right now, the good news is that Jesus loves you wherever you are, and he wants to have an intimate relationship with you, and he's excited about hearing from you. He's excited about that. Job was somebody that was a man of character. He was a man of integrity, and he got challenged. He was attacked by the evil one, and he had things taken from him. His journey was brutally hard, and as you read throughout the book of Job, you see how Job talks to God. And over time, throughout the whole book of Job, his talking changes. And at the very beginning, he's processing his pain and his suffering through prayer. And he's talking to God as he's scraping himself and trying to put medicine and help his physical body pain and suffering and the loss of his children, the loss of his income and the loss of his home and all these things that he's lost. He's crying out to God. He's talking to God through his pain and suffering. And then as you go throughout the book, you see this, his talking to God changes as God begins to reveal to him. God reveals himself to Job out of a whirlwind. And after God reveals himself to Job, then Job's conversations with God begin to change. And that's what our prayer, that's what my desire is for everybody in here today, is that you come in contact with God, that your knowledge of God changes because you experience him. God is a God of experience. You don't just have to read about him, but he comes to be made known to you through his Holy Spirit, but also he comes to be known to us through himself in his word. Hebrews 1:1, New Testament, Hebrews 1:1. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. So God talked to people through the prophets. Verse 2 of Hebrews chapter 1. But in these days, in these last days, God has spoken to us by his Son. His Son is Jesus Christ, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom he also created the world. So Jesus Christ is the Word of God. When we come to know Jesus Christ, we hear the Word of God. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much superior to the angels as the name Jesus he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. Jesus is the word of God. Coming to know God, coming to know him so that we can talk to him with more intimacy and more connection. We want our prayers to be deeper and more relevant and more personal and more practical, more frequent. Our attention span with God to grow longer so that we get lost in prayer and we're not like, okay, man, it's been 5 minutes and I'm supposed to pray today for 10 minutes, okay? I'm gonna pray. Come on. Our attention span sometimes is so short when we don't know him. Let's get to know God. Let's really get to know God. Because if we get to know him, talking to him becomes so much more easier. Our attention span, our love for him, our desire to get to know him. And then we lead other people. We bring other people along with us in prayer. Let's get to know him. And the easiest, clearest way today, if you're going to go home, you want to get to know God better, the easiest way is to read the Bible. Reading the Bible helps us get to know God like nothing else. Reading the whole Bible. But I know to some of y'all, that's like, what in the world? That's going to take, sometimes if you read 3 chapters a day, it takes a whole year. It's a big book. So if you're not into that yet, if you're not to that level yet, let me just say, There's four books at the beginning of the New Testament that you're going to get to know Jesus. That's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. If you're new to reading about who God is, read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Once you read about God in the flesh, this is Jesus Christ. Once you start seeing who Jesus is and what his character was and how he responds to people and how he loves people and how he forgives people and how he has come to save all of us. Once you begin to read about Jesus and you fall in love with Jesus, it changes the way you communicate. Now, if you were to all tell me how you learned how to talk yourself, like if you were to tell me you were like a baby, like that baby right there that was on that video, and you were to say, well, when I was, you know, 18 months, when I was 6 months, I said, dada, you know, I said, bottle, I said, no, I said, blanky, whatever it was, you couldn't do it. You couldn't explain to us how you learned to talk. Has been so long ago, and you were so little. And we don't learn to talk because we want to learn to talk. Do we? I mean, like, babies aren't like, okay, I need to learn how to talk, so I'm gonna start studying. A is for apple, you know. What happens? What happens to a baby when they're born and they learn how to talk? It is because they're being talked into. They're being spoken to. And they are, Eugene Patterson, great speaker and pastor, says, we are plunged at birth into a sea of language. We're plunged at birth into a sea of language. Then slowly, syllable by syllable, we acquire the capacity to answer. Mama, papa, bottle, and the word that no, or mine. Those are words that we love to say as little babies and as adults probably as well. These are not all first words. They are answering speech. We are answering to the degree that we're being spoken into. And researchers have studied this, and they've shown that children's ability to understand and communicate is profoundly affected by the number of words and the breadth of vocabulary to which they are exposed to as infants and young children. In fact, you'll hear teachers and educators say to read to your kids. You know, not just teach your kids how to read, but you need to be reading books to them that they don't have the ability to read themselves, because you are bathing them in language. You're immersing them in language. You're exposing them to something that is teaching them new worlds and new possibilities. So, if we're talking to God, if we want to change the way we talk to God, and if we want to listen to what he's saying to us, then that talking to God and that conversation with God is a direct result of our immersion in his word. How much are we being spoken to by God when we read his word? Amen. How much do we know of God? And we pray that God is that the Bible says is a proceeding word of God. It is continuing to come forth. People get words from God that are directly through prayer or through a sermon or through whatever. But it doesn't have to be that complicated. You can go straight to the word of God, the Bible. That's why we have so much reverence for the Bible, and we put it in such high regard in our faith, because it is the living, breathing, active word of God that is continuing to proceed out of the mouth of God. Even though it was written so many, many years ago, it is still alive and well. So when we're immersed in the word of God and his presence, we begin to learn how to talk. Let me just say this. It could be possible that it takes you several years to learn a vocabulary of prayer and learn a vocabulary of talking to God, just like it did for you to learn how to speak whatever primary language you learned as a baby, as a child. And so what I want to do as a pastor, as your coach of talking to God, is say, go for it. Talk to God. Don't be preoccupied with trying to craft the right words or use the biggest words or try to impress other people. That's not what this is all about at all. Starting babbling to God is okay. I was driving just the other day, and I have many different types of prayer in my life, many different environments of talking to God. I have, and as we go throughout this month, I want to share with you all these different types of conversations that I have with God. And I want to be very personal and practical with you. But, you know, obviously there's before meal and before bedtime with the kids, and there's devotional prayer in the morning where I'm talking to God, I'm reading scripture, and I'm getting close to Him. And then a lot of times in the vehicle, just driving down the road. A lot of times, like in our Thrive sermon series that we started the beginning of the year with, we talked about our emotions. When our emotions flare up, and when those emotions flare up and you're depressed or you're angry or you're lonely or you're sad or you're heavy or whatever, as a child, you don't have to launch into prayer with some eloquent introductory statement and go into the, you know, this articulate whatever. You can just, as you're, just the other day I was driving down the road and I just like, yesterday was so hard. God, let's talk. We need to have a talk. I want to share with you how I felt yesterday. That was tough, you know, that was difficult. And I just started explaining, I just started talking to God like I was talking to my wife or talking to one of you, and just started laying it all out, just laying it out, just blah. I'm talking to God, and then I just feel His presence coming to my truck. I feel the peace of God just wrap His arms around me. I hear you. I hear you, Robin. I love you. I'm with you. I'm going to help you. You're going to make it. Oh, so beautiful. Talking to God. When I start that conversation with Him, I know He's there. I know His attributes. I know a lot about God. I've studied Him. I've read about Him. And so when I go into that conversation, I'm talking to someone that I know. Thank you, God. Let's get into His Word. Amen. Let's read all about Him. But let's also start talking to Him. Some of you, this may be brand new for you. I don't want to say, okay, what we're going to do is pray an hour a day. No, we're going to talk to God. That's what we're going to do. We're going to talk to God. And I want you, you may just feel like you're babbling for a while. You may think He's not interested. Like God's got the whole world taken care of. Why would He care about what I'm talking about? You know, I haven't done anything for Him lately. I've done nothing to earn His attention or to... I've done nothing lately that would make Him proud of me, that He would say, oh, what do you have to say today? I think I'll listen to you today. I want you to remember that video and that dad. He loves you. He loves you so much. Everybody in this building here today, no matter how messed up your life is, no matter how big of a failure you are, He loves you. He loves you. He forgives you. He gave His life for you so that today you could talk to Him without any guilt. That's why He gave His life for you. He didn't just give His life for you so you could live in heaven forever and ever and ever. He gave His life for you so that you could talk to Him today and not have the weight and the condemnation of your life. You could have a good relationship with Him. That's why He gave His life for you, because He loves you and He's excited about hearing from you. Let's talk to Him right now. How about that? Let's talk directly to him right now. In fact, he's been in our midst from the very beginning. Would you bow your head and close your eyes right now? Let's recognize him. Lord, we know from the very beginning when we walked in the doors here today, you were here. You were in the car with us actually before we even got out. You're always here, God. You're always here. You're always here. God, I'm praying. It's my desire that everybody within the sound of my voice here today would start having conversations with you. Not just, thank you for this food in Jesus' name, amen, or now I lay me down to sleep prayer. But an honest, heartfelt, personal, direct communication. Listening to us. And then we know you're going to be speaking, Lord, that we would have an ear as we read your scripture. May our ears be open, Lord. May our ears be open to hear your words speaking clearly and distinctly and profoundly, personally, a personalized prayer session. As we read your word, God, may it be true, may it be right, may it confirm things to us, may it convict us of some things that we need to change, Lord. May your word to us bring life and bring hope and bring direction. Lord, we want to hear from you, God, and we're going to make an effort. We're going to step out and make an effort, Lord Jesus, as we let this dialogue continue that you began thousands of years ago before the foundations of the earth. You had us in mind. You knew about us, Lord. The world was created. We got separated from you, from sin. But Lord, you loved us so much. You came to reconnect humanity to you, God. Thank you. Thank you. There's people here this morning that are separate from God, and you want to get back into a right relationship with him because there's been things in your life that have separated you from him, and it's time for you to get reconnected to God. Or maybe you've never even really felt connected ever to God, and you're ready to have a relationship with him where you can just sit down and have a talk with God like what I've been talking about today. If that's you, I want to pray for you right now. I want actually you to pray with me. And it's going to be an awesome day for you. You're going to jump into a new life of faith and trust in Jesus like you never have before. But it's not based on you. It's based on Jesus. So today we're going to put our trust and our hope in a Savior that has accomplished everything we've ever wanted to accomplish. A flawless life, a perfect existence. He wants to give it to us today. But he wants to trade. He wants to take our sin today. He wants to take our shame and our mistakes and our brokenness and our pain. And he wants to trade. He wants to trade all of our mess for his beauty and his wholeness. Today, you can live a life of wholeness from this day forward. Would you pray with me right now if that's you? Dear Lord Jesus, I open my heart to you today. Come into my life, I pray. Please forgive me of my sin. I don't want to be separate from you any longer. I want to be one with you from this day forward. I make myself open and available for you. Fill me with your Holy Spirit, God. I trust Jesus Christ that you are the Lord of my life. I don't need to look anywhere else. You are my hope. You are my Lord. You're my everything. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's give God a hand clap right now. Lord, we love you today. We love you today.